Maria and Chad, live from Disneyland.
On the new Camel at 107.9.
All right, it's the Maria and Chad show on the new Camel at 107.9. And we have Stacia here, one of our favorite guests when we come to Disneyland. Because
well, thank you.
What do you do? Tell people what you do.
I have the best job in the entire civilized world. In fact, I'll demonstrate a little bit while we're talking. I am a Disney character artist and an historian. I'm based here out of Disneyland. And in June, I will be celebrating 41 years with Disney. But I decided I needed to be a Disney artist when I was 7 in third grade.
Oh, so 7?
Yeah, seriously. Wow. So I've been training for a lot of that. But as an artist, I get to draw and paint and design all kinds of things throughout for use throughout the entire organization. But also, as an historian, I have a great deal of fun writing and researching and speaking and helping to carry on and foster interest in the whole process of how Walt Disney came to be who he was, how he did what he did, and the legacy that he left us and all the new and exciting things that that creative legacy has brought to us on a daily basis. And of course, being here at Disneyland, this is Walt's personal park. It's the only park he actually inhabited. He had it for its first 10 years, and it was his baby. It was the biggest and best toy he could possibly build for himself, and of course, to share with people, because as a dad, he had Daddy's Day, and his two daughters and he would go out on adventures, and pretty much they'd end up at Griffith Park in L.A., and he'd be on a bench eating peanuts while the merry-go-round had his daughters occupied, and he'd say, you know, there should be some place where families can go together and all have fun simultaneously instead of Daddy on the bench all the time.
Right, right.
And so that was the impetus, going back to the late 30s even, of having a magical little park, a somewhere where you could have the same kind of fanciful fun and experiences in environments that were film quality, but yet three-dimensional and real. And so that was how the Disneyland idea came to fruition. It took him a while, and you know, finances and World War II and all kinds of things, you know, got in the way. But eventually, of course, he was able to just squeak by and get Disneyland opened in 1955. And of course, the world beat a path to his door. But he, you know, Walt always had problems convincing people about his ideas, because when he went into feature animation with Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, people said, how can people even be anticipated to want to watch a cartoon that lasts over 10 minutes? And how boring that could be. And even there's a story that there were articles from opticians saying that the intensity of cartoon Technicolor for such a prolonged period of time can be injurious to your corneas. It's like, what? So, yeah. You know, he had naysayers all over the place, but he also had naysayers about talking cartoons. People thought, well, what a weird idea that would be. And that's what put him really on the national radar, was that he saw the potential in motion picture audio with the very first talking picture, The Jazz Singer, coming out in 28. That was what Walt capitalized on, sold his car and cashed in everything he had to be able to put a soundtrack to his already completed silent film, Steamboat Willie, and release that, and release Mickey and Minnie onto the world on November 18th of 1928. And people were stunned. Mickey and Minnie were catapulted into being superstars, a position they have maintained ever since.
Of course.
Now 90 years later, you know, we're still building on that momentum that Walt had from starting out with Mickey and Minnie and Steamboat Willie all those years ago. So, you know, we have so much history, and it all dovetails. You can't say, you know, I'm going to focus on this or this or this and be isolated, because everything within the Disney organization is kind of interrelated, and that comes from Walt having the ability to see big picture possibilities in just about everything and make things work together to make the whole stronger.
Stacia, can we have you explain, while you're telling us all this great history, you've been sketching, what is on this pad in front of you for those listening on the radio?
Well, of course, you know, since we want everyone to get their ears on and help us celebrate 90 years of Mickey and Minnie magic, I thought it would be appropriate to draw a lovely birthday celebrating Mickey. Also, he's my boss, so it's a good thing to draw your boss every once in a while. But, you know, he has his party hat on and lots of balloons in the sky and confetti and magic sparkles, kind of like the special presentations that we're doing to celebrate Mickey and Minnie with our fireworks spectaculars. And, you know, it's just all a big party here. It's normally a big party here at Disneyland, but we've kind of amped up the ear value here in celebrating Mickey and Minnie.
You mentioned that Mickey's your boss.
Yes.
When you have employee reviews, does Mickey sit on the other side of the desk? How does that go?
Well, not really so much of that, because he's a very busy guy.
Yeah.
You know, he delegates quite a bit of the time. When that's where it comes in handy, to have 90 years of co-stars, you know, to delegate for. I think I was, you know, last talking with, we were in finance and Uncle Scrooge came by, you know. So, you know, we have lots of characters.
I was just going to say, does Scrooge sign your checks?
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. But it doesn't come from the money bin in Duckburg. We have a separate payroll account. Yes.